Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Wake up! All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for tuning in to episode 567 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today, February 23rd, 2020, we are a video gaming podcast. We like to think of ourselves as more mature, a little bit more wise, but as you will soon learn, none of that is the case. We are quite the polar opposite. But we love to talk about games. We love to talk about life. So that is what we're going to do for the next hour and a half-ish. I am one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC Murphy's Law, sorry, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. With me today, a lovely cast. We'll start some intros, starting with the bottom right, the healthiest of healthy, Kim Woods.
Right? Don't y'all give me your plague or whatever's been going around. I've already had it twice this winter. I don't want it again. So. Howdy, everyone.
Well, Kim, thanks for joining. Spinning the decks, looking absolutely stealthy. Robin, what is the show? I need to ask you about your ninja shirt.
Oh, hello, everybody. This is my t-shirt.
Show me your disguise, Robin.
Ask me about my ninja disguise.
Yeah.
This is
good.
Yeah, I've been training as a ninja for many months now, so. Is that just the coolest t-shirt or what?
It's disturbing beyond belief. I love it.
My eyes up your tits.
Hello, everybody. Yeah. It's Robin Tate here in the mad thing that is Ballymena in Northern Ireland. I am here. Thank goodness. It is a welcome relief to be here talking to you all.
Mark's eyes are bleeding, by the way.
But we'll get to that all in a little minute or two. Hello, Pete. Hello, Greg.
Hello. By the way,
number 10.
Am I the only one that when Robin pulled on his disguise, it felt like I saw two sets of eyes? Oh, all right. And last but not least, joining us this evening, surviving the latest ginger flu, is our very own ginger, number 13. Chin.
Thanks, Greg. I'm the legit chinny suffering with flu, and yeah, I'm here. I couldn't miss this week. I was dying to be on. Regardless of fitness levels, I'm going to be on the show. So here I am.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time to join us, as we always do every Sunday at 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the central time zones, because God knows we love our people in the central time zone.
You better.
Well, hey, you know what? We recognize the heartland, Kim. We see the heartland as important, unlike certain Democratic parties in the United States that don't view the heartland as being important. We see it as important. All right.
I can use my brain for more than just poking a hole in the dirt and putting a seed in it. Damn it.
No, yes, I don't know. You can. No, I don't know. I really don't know, because you hear the sea coming in there. Anyway, that's another story.
Yes, another story for a different day.
Yep.
Hey, we are on Twitch, we are on Mixer, we are on YouTube, so you can always view the show live and or recorded, catch the show, watch the show, but also we will put the audio version out, so in case you just can't be bothered, maybe you're at the gym and you want something to listen to instead of watch, well, we'll give you that option as well. So find us on iTunes, find us on YouTube, or Google, Podbean, any app out there that plays audio podcasts, you should be able to find us. And if you can't find us and you know the app name, let us know. We'll figure a way to get on there. All right. that is it. That's me done. That's the start of the show done. So we don't have any birthdays because nobody at all has gotten older today. This is an amazing day in history. Nobody has been born on today. So from here forward, this will always be the non-born day.
I don't know. Anyway, well, come on, Alan, I'm going to give you an ultimatum. You can't have the unborn ultimatum. You really can't.
Yep. No, we could. Anyway, hey, story time.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
I love that. It's just a lovely little jingle. It makes you just want to talk about life. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about life. Kim, your life seems to have been somewhat quiet.
Yeah, I mean, not a whole lot's happened this week. You know, no sick cats or anything like that. Or, you know, I started back at my early hours, which, let me tell you, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 4:50 at some mornings, it sucks. But, you know, it is what it is, so.
Routine. Now, this is for your job, or is this?
Yeah. Okay. My nephew, Colton, my brother, went back to day shift, so which means I go back to day shift. So, yeah. So I watch him from about 5:30 in the morning till about 4:30 in the afternoon. So, yep, he's now, one.
Let's be honest. You put him in the closet from 5 o'clock in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, letting him out for small bathroom breaks, occasional food.
Yeah, I feed him every once in a while, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, mostly he's just in the closet while I'm sitting back drinking whiskey and, you know, watching The Witcher. So okay. There you go. Yeah.
Sounds perfectly fine to me.
Right.
All right. Let's see. Who should we go to next? I feel like we need to get a Ginger update. This is going to be sad. I have to imagine we should be playing violins as this goes on. Ooh. Something sad and soft.
Oh, here, I've got violins here. Hold on.
Hello, my fellow podcast family.
Oh, sorry. That's sad. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Ginger, let's hear it.
All right. So there's been wedding stuff going on. Yeah, a whole lot of that. We've got our invites now, so we're close to sending those out. And we've got our photographer organised, and all the deposit and all that jazz is paid for that. What else? I've thought of a date for a stag do, which is going to be on the 30th and 31st of May. So okay. I've not sent out anything regarding invoices as far as that's concerned, but those are the dates that I've got in mind. I was thinking of going to Manchester, maybe going to the Arcade Club on day one, then go to Manchester in the evening, and then the next day to go to the Crystal Maze. It's this, I don't know whether you, have you ever heard of the Crystal Maze over in the States?
No.
Okay. Yeah. It's an old TV show, like a game show with a really wacky presenter, Chris O'Brien. And it's almost like a puzzle thing. You're locked in the room and you've got to solve the puzzle and get the crystal. And if you don't get out of the room in time, you get locked in. Or if you get the crystal, it all amounts to time that you get in the final dome where you have to collect silver or gold tickets. And it's this real exciting game that used to be on the TV years ago. So it's going to bring back a lot of nostalgia, I think.
It had all of the damn it, what do you call it when they spend money on a production? The production cost, the quality of the production as an escape room in London. So
okay, I was going to say, it sounds very much like an escape room.
Yeah, it's that sort of theme. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So not a big budget spent on it, but yeah, good fun.
All right, now what I'm failing to hear, and just need to get some clarification here, when do the hookers and drugs come into play?
I haven't fitted those in yet. I can't find any time. I'll think of something. Good man.
By the way, I have to just point this out. One, Pete, just looking at you, you look sick. I've noticed your demeanor.
He's pale.
You're squinting. You're definitely more pale than you normally are, which is saying a lot.
Right. The screens are too bright.
Right. Yeah. You're squinting like the sunlight hurts you, even though the sun is already set.
Vampire.
Are you sure you're not turning into a vampire? That's actually my next question.
He looks like he spent 2 weeks on a cruise ship.
I know, yeah.
With coronavirus.
Well, okay. Maybe this thing called the sun would be good for you. Step outside. Although I heard you guys haven't had sun in like weeks, have you?
Hey, no, we had a real good day today. I don't know about you, Robin.
No.
Okay. Snow. It was really bright. Oh, it was really nice over. It was a bit windy, but apart from that, it was really pleasant today. But it's the first time I've been out in 4 days. I had to go and pick my mum up and my dad, so they all got them round, and Shell's mum for a meal. So we've had that today. So yeah, we've been doing wedding stuff. I've planned that date for a stag do. I'm probably going to leave it as an open invite. So if people haven't been to the arcade club or not going in April for the VG meetup, they can come along to that for the
what
day.
What date again? What date is it again?
18th of April.
Is that the VG meetup as well at the same time?
Yeah. No. The VG meetup is the 18th of April, and then my stag do is going to be on the 30th and the 31st of May.
Actually, that's going to be the first. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Your stag do, when is your stag do? The 19th?
30th.
The 30th and the 31st of May.
Christ, I have a lot of travel. Yeah, Judith and I go to Paris that weekend, so... no! Sorry, VG guys. This time. Gotta miss one.
So yeah, I'll leave my stag do open, I think, for people who can't make that meetup, and they can come along to... You know, they just come for the day. They don't have to go to Manchester in the evening, because I know it costs money. So, yeah, it'd be good to see a few people, but... If you can't, you can't. We ain't all meta money in around.
Hey, tell you what, if it's anything like half the fun we had in Amsterdam, it'll be fun. And it was nothing to do with the drugs or the hookers or anything like that there, or the strippers. It was just a fun group of lads. So, yeah.
I do expect a lot of you, Pete, though. Your brother has set the benchmark, or I should say the bar top, as being the highlight of a stag do. So... I do expect to hear tales of a ginger on top of a bar top.
No, you won't get that from me. No way.
You sure?
Yeah.
Maybe with some alcohol inducement.
Yeah, I'm not the type to go to get heavily influenced and to overindulge. Only when that one night when I was with Robin and he killed me at the house. That was bad. That was bad.
Me?
I can't keep up with a guy.
In fairness, you did seem to stay in control that night, unlike other individuals that we're not going to name. there were sightings, but
I was totally in control. I'm just an exhibitionist. I wasn't in control.
Wasn't going to say anything. I was trying to keep the sanctity of what stays in.
I throw my clothes off and walk around naked at every opportunity that I possibly can. So
I'll try and wrap up the rest of my few weeks away. But Valentine's Day, I know you spoke about it last week or the week before. I can't remember. But I've got this little red car. It's my little eco car. I only travel by myself to work, and it's a little 1 liter like Citroen C1. I've not got anything flash. I'm not into all that jazz. But what I did for Valentine's Day, I did the inside of it up like into a little love bug. So I put like rose petals all over the dashboard and some like light up hearts and a candle. I've managed to like blue tack that onto the dashboard and put a rose and stuff in there and just like did it all out for when I picked Shell up from work that day. And we ended up going to Cannock Chase, which is like the place where we went on our first date, and we got some food and I got a little picnic thing, and we had the little thing in the car, so we just had that moment together. But that was Valentine's Day, and I thought it was
are sickeningly cute. Kind of kills me.
It was super cute. She loved it. She was she loved it. So to all you men out there, all ladies as well that want to surprise their partner.
Well, on the screen right now is his lad baby who had his car graphic wrapped by his wife, where it says "I love my wife" on the car side of the car, and big photographs and love hearts all over his car. So yeah, honestly, next year there's the thing that you need to do to proclaim, the first year of marriage and all that there. So yeah.
So that was Valentine's Day.
I've had a tattoo as well this week, and it's all scabbed up, so it's no point in showing you, but it's
where?
Oh, where?
that's something new for you.
Are you tattooing over tattoos now? Is that what's happening?
That's what I was doing anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my whole body's been a cover-up, so I've only got two more appointments on my right arm, and then that's pretty much the whole of my body complete then from cover-ups. The only thing I'll have left is my feet and my bum, and I'm not too sure whether to do either yet. So
you must be so hard looking naked, Michael. You're like a reverse Michael Jackson.
Yes. I just look like I've got a white pair of shorts on.
Yeah.
Yes. So it is true. I mean, Pete, you know, you say you're afraid to, like, you know, you remain in control and you don't do anything nutty. You were, like, on this podcast naked, and none of us knew. We all thought you had a T-shirt on, and then we realized, no, he's just sitting there with nothing on. So, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, so, how's the man flu?
Yeah, it's all right. I'm on day, like, 4 or 5 now. 5, I think it is. I was bad yesterday and the day before. Terrible. And, you know, I've booked 4 days off work, so I booked Thursday off, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and I ain't left the bedroom hardly in those times, and it wasn't through sexy time, it was through being ill. Tonight I just thought, stuff it, I'm going to have a drink, I'm off tomorrow and I'm off Tuesday, so regardless of how I feel, I'm going to go out wedding ring shopping hopefully tomorrow or Tuesday. See how I get on, but yeah, I've got man flu, so that's why my voice sounds right. A little bit rough. And but that's me, you know.
You sound okay actually, outside of low energy. There's definite low energy happening, and then hearing that and seeing the visual, it all puts it into perspective. So man, the flu is no fun. Let's face it. By the way, very well done on inviting the in-laws over to get more sick. Congratulations on that. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Everybody loves to have dinner with a person that's got the plague.
Yeah. Yep. It's cheaper for the wedding, isn't it? You know, I'm just thinking.
Absolutely. Are they paying? No, they're not paying, right? Oh. It's get rid of them. let's see. Who should we go to next? Robin.
Yeah? Robin. Well.
Let's talk about your week. What's going on?
Well, last week was a week. Annus horribilis, is that, also was that true. What the Queen would say? So at the beginning of the week, our little one, Jasmine, was vomiting and doing everything out of every orifice. And it was horrible. And as the week has progressed, she's decided not to sleep. So I think I've had 4 nights in a trot downstairs with her between sort of 2 and 3:30 in the morning. And eyes on stalks and frayed tempers. Very disappointed on Thursday of this week, her adoption fell through completely. And the people that were going to adopt her have been disappointed. Nothing to do with them.
Now, real quickly. So yeah. I know I don't want to touch base on something that might be sensitive, but... Okay. Has it actually fallen through, or is it on hold?
No, it's on hold. But on the 5th of March, Jasmine was to go to her new family. And on Friday Friday past, she was supposed to meet her new family for the very first time. And a thing happened on Thursday with paperwork, solicitors involved, bits and pieces, and stupidness.
Lots of cunts got involved, right?
Very
right,
much. It all fell apart. And the new family couldn't meet her.
And it fell apart out of absolute stupidity. We won't get into details because we don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Yes.
But, if you could think of the most ridiculous thing somebody could do to try and derail an adoption, this was at the top of the list of stupid.
So our new family is beautiful and lovely. They're nice people. We have met them. And they're brokenhearted. And it's just, adoption is a fair play to anybody that's going to adopt, because great when they get them, but the process of going through it is pretty much of a nightmare. And it's been a learning process for us as well, so the next time we have one that's going like this, we will be able to pave the way a little bit more to say, look, she's not with you or he's not with you until he's through the door.
Are.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's our attitude as far as kids coming into us. You know, yeah, oh, yeah, well, you bring them around. Oh, yeah, it's not happening. So, yeah, so it's been a really tough emotional week for Judith, for that family. Jasmine has no idea.
Right.
But it's been pretty stupid. So, okay, but on to happier news.
Happier news.
Happier news. I need help, people.
We know, actually, that we've been citing this continuously for every podcast that I can think of.
So, I know it's early, okay? I know it's early, and I'm talking about, and we have touched on this a bit, Greg, so you'll hopefully be involved. But the spreadsheet for 2021 was started today. Now, what that means is Tate's on tour, my family, and we're going out to the States again. And there was a sort of a thought process that we'll do a two-drop stop. So we'll do the second week in Florida again and go and do Florida and the first week in Tennessee. Because I've got this thing and I don't know what it is. And I think it started with Dollywood, wanting to go to Dollywood to see that and go to places like Pigeon Forge where Dollywood is, Gatlinburg, Chattanooga, maybe even get up as far as Memphis and go and visit Graceland. And then leave Memphis quickly again. I just, in the Smoky Mountains, maybe seeing a real bear. And I think this comes back to how such a wonderful time we had in Yosemite. And we kind of want that sort of thing again. So I was doing the spreadsheet today. And I can get flights from Dublin directly to Knoxville. The cabins up in the woods look fantastic. Not terribly dear. The car hires as normal. The problem comes that I have 6 flights to pay for. The internal flights from Knoxville to Orlando, not too bad. But the big thing is the park tickets again, because we would love to go to Disney to see the new Star Wars bit, but we'd love to go and spend our time in Universal again. And looking at that, I need to get on to the people that sort my tickets usually, but they make it really, really awkward to buy tickets for 7 days. Like, you know, the come and go as you want to.
Park hoppers.
You have to dig for, maybe for the stateside, it's okay. But the ones that are all in the sort of UK-wide, it's like buried really, really deeply. It's all 14 days. So 14-day park hopper tickets between Universal's and Disney's for 6 people. How much? How much, Mr. DeLacy?
You're talking probably $2,000.
Double it.
Yeah, I was going to say for 14 days. See, but you don't need 14 days.
I don't need 14 days. Exactly. I only need 7 or even 5. Yeah.
So where are you buying your tickets from?
No. With the same people we've bought several times before, and it's been great value. Right. But even them, I'll have to give them a call and say, look, what's your 5 or 7 day deal on park hoppers?
Right.
But if you go onto their site, you'll not see any of that. You just sort of, you buy the 14 days.
About just going direct?
That too. Today's day one. Spreadsheet has formed.
No, fair enough.
So when I do all the different car hires and all the different bits and pieces and then a few grand of spending money and all the bits and pieces for sundries, it's too much. It's more than California. Yeah. And I know I've got 2 extra people. So part of my dilemma is today going, do you know what? I'm looking at that area of the Smoky Mountains and then around there, and it looks absolutely fabulous. You know, Gatlinburg and Chattanooga, it all looks so fantastic. And there's more than 2 weeks of stuff to do in those areas.
Right.
A couple of days at Dollywood, picking a show, some of the big food shows, the parrot stuff, you know, parrot dinner dance or dinner show and all that sort of thing. And I'm kind of thinking, Greg, I might spend
just
time
go to
out
Tennessee.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that means.
You could do that.
I don't know how
that would be my recommendation, by the way. If you're going to do 1 week in Tennessee, 1 week in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do your week in Florida, just get 2 sets of 2-day park hoppers.
Maybe.
Do 2 days at Disneyland. 2 days, so Disney World,
yeah.
2 days at Universal, and in between, and make sure wherever you stay, they've got like a good, fun pool area.
Exactly. Yeah, Yeah, so I've done that before. You know, we've done that before. That's fine. I'm fine. It's just, I'm just freaking out at the price of that. But even when I take out that $4,000, it's still
expensive.
It's still expensive. And my life now is about having really good experiences.
Sure.
And I've been there before, and I would love to go. There's so much beautiful stuff and nature-y stuff. And if you just look at Pigeon Forge and around there, it looks fab. So much to do.
Hey, here's what I will say, and I will say this because I loved the hotel. I've told many a people about this.
Gaylord.
I think but the Gaylord in Tennessee, it is right next to the Grand Ole Opry. So again, something you can go see. It is a fantastic hotel, resort, convention center. I mean, it is a spectacle to see. So and then they've got a huge mall right next door. So there's plenty of shopping. Mm. So
yeah,
I would highly recommend picking that.
So I've sort of had it in my head for a while to go to Dollywood, but the area. And so is there enough in the area to justify going out there? And there definitely is. Definitely is. Yes, yeah, Harley Dan, Whistler Bike Park. Whistler, wow. A lot of stuff. Sorry?
Just to jump in, I'm going to go to Nashville for my honeymoon.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to going out there as well and doing those. Having those little days out, I was hoping, because it's about 3 hours, I think, 2.5 hours, 3 hours to Memphis from Nashville. There's also the Jack Daniel's Distillery, which is
right.
About there's a whole bunch of stuff. And as well as music, you know, the culture out there. So
I'm turning into a heck anyway, so. No,
I've heard you are a redneck many times.
Yeah, looks like it. So yeah, so that's again. Nothing has been done. Nothing has been planned. But just California and that big trip started a year and a half or so beforehand. I can't book anything now, but you know, in 6 months' time, I will. The other challenge we have: one of our foster kids, who's now doing very well and now lives in Manchester in England, is getting married. And she's not having her wedding in Manchester, which would be bad enough. She's having her wedding in Rhodes, in Greece.
Greece.
Nice. All right.
The invitation arrived the other day. So we have to go out to Greece.
It could be worse places to go.
I know. And that's great. I'm looking forward to it. But that's at the beginning of August. So that's sort of, you know, the minimum, like 2 or 3 days, you're going to be out there at that.
Right.
So there's that balancing. And anyway, we can't wait. Oh, this is great. All these things ahead of us. Isn't it brilliant?
It is. It is indeed. Let's see. Shifting gears to me, unless you have anything else, Rob.
No, I don't have anything else apart from I've been training to be a ninja.
No.
Wow.
You think it's paying off?
Jeez. I think you should do the whole podcast with that on. all right. Me, let's see. Getting healthy. So I am finally on the mend. So I had, I will call it the man flu. I will call it just the flu. I won't even say it's the man flu because I literally gave it to my wife and my son. I was patient zero this time. But up until Wednesday this past week, I was just absolutely just feeling crappy. I could not stop coughing. And it just seemed like it would not go away. And I got to the point when I was coughing, I was noticing blood coming up in the mucus. So I was like, okay, I need to kick down and see a doctor. One of the funny things about the States, a lot of our medical facilities now, they don't want to see you. When you have the flu, they say, stay away. They set up phone appointments and they'll prescribe medication over the phone. So that was the catalyst of me actually getting healthy, because my doctor gave me an antibiotic because it's pretty sure, it was beyond just a, you know, common flu virus bug. It was something that needed a little bit extra help, and also gave me better cough drops. Basically, these little, they're like, they look like honey. I forgot what they're called, but it helps control the cough. And the moment I started taking them, the very next day, I slept the best I've slept in weeks that night. And the next day I woke up feeling fantastic. So I've gone back to the gym now. I've resumed life as I know it. And
about time, Slacker.
I know. Literally, I took like 2 weeks off from the gym. It was crazy. I could not. I mean, I was just on death's bed every day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So getting healthy is a good thing. So I'm happy to be part of that group. And then Stranger Things 3, season 3. I finally started watching it. I love this show. It is so good. So really enjoying Stranger Things season 3. If you've never seen Stranger Things before, especially if you are older, if you're a child of the 80s, 90s, this series brings back so many memories because of the music choices they have. They play just fantastic music throughout the entire series, all three seasons so far. And season 3 has elevated to a new level of kind of craziness. But yeah, so really enjoying that. Highly recommend.
Can I ask a question about how much are your prescriptions in the US? So you get all these drugs. What is this from your insurance, or is this like
it's
a lot of money?
This was through my insurance, and I actually have two drug stories to talk about. Is that something that you hide, Robin, up the? anyway, so my drugs, it was $18 for my antibiotics and my cough drops. So that is a like a drop in the bucket. That's nothing. Now my parents, my mom gets an inhaler because she suffers a little bit from some asthma, and they don't have a good insurance. Well, I say they don't have a good insurance plan. It's kind of a standardized insurance plan, but the asthma inhaler that she gets, they didn't have the generic version for it, so it cost her $70 for just the one inhaler. Now, I don't know if that's expensive or not for inhalers. I think it seems to me it's a little on the high side. It varies. It really varies depending upon the insurance you have. You can get Medicare insurance, and typically speaking, your drugs are going to be a little bit more expensive. And so Medicare is kind of the equivalent of like government-backed health insurance. Does that make sense?
Prescriptions are free in Northern Ireland.
Are they?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
They did have a charge a few years ago, but about 8 years ago again, they scrapped it again because it was costing more money to collect the prescription and to monitor that than to actually give the stuff away free.
I'll pay
£7 or something.
Yeah. 12 months of certificate I've got because I have medication regularly for. I've got colitis, ulcerative colitis. But anyway, I pay £120 a year, and I can have as many prescriptions as I want in a year. I won't have to pay anything else.
Okay. Yeah. You know, chlamydia is a really tough thing to live with, so I totally understand that.
It's all right as long as you don't get it more than four times a year.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
So that's a really good thing, and there's really positive things about the NHS as well, but there are really, really bad things about the NHS too. So my father-in-law needs an operation. Because of something with a peeing problem, and the NHS are going to say it's like 18 months. So he's going, private, 2 weeks. So that is, you say, oh, NHS is brilliant. NHS is fantastic, but there are times.
There's always trade-offs. There really are. There's always going to be trade-offs.
Yeah. I would hate to be without it, but I would be happy to pay for my own super duper insurance. And that's wrong because I could afford, well, I do. We have private here as well. But maybe knobs like me that can pay a bit more. Is it wrong that? God, I'm getting political here. Is it wrong? Is it wrong that I would get my treatment faster because I've got a bit more money? Yeah, maybe. But maybe it would free up then national health service. You know, I don't know. It's like chicken and egg. What do you do? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The interesting thing is, it's kind of funny. I mean, in terms of like our medical insurance, so for me, you know, I have insurance through my work. I never pay anything outside of like my prescription I paid for when I picked it up. But my insurance payments, I never feel because they're taken out pre-tax with my check.
And then that's also a bit like the UK. Yeah. So we have this thing called over here called, sorry, this is not video games, but it's chat, and hopefully right, you right, enjoy right, a chat. Right. We have this thing called it's a National Health Service, or sorry, National Health, what's it called again? Pete? Your contributions? No, what is it called?
National Insurance.
National Insurance. And that's taken out at your salary. So the more your salary you earn, the bigger that gets and stuff like that there. And that allegedly goes to the National Health Service. So we're we are paying for our National Health Service.
Right.
But it's you'd say it's like a stealth thing.
Right, you know? Right. You never feel it.
Never feel it. It's annoying when you see it there. And the more you earn, the more you, like my big thing there a month or so ago, you know, a big chunk of that. But what the hell? That's all
right. Right. But
sorry, Jason, I know it's a video game podcast. I'm sorry, but you know what? We have transcended video games. This is friends. We'll get to the video games. I'm sorry. You know, we're chit-chat.
We're going to transition to games.
Yeah,
we are.
So, there you go.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Alright, so let's talk video games. Thank you to the chat for bringing us back around to talk about games. Kim, in fact, while we are on this topic, let's give a shout out to those in the chat, and then maybe we can talk about also the free games.
Oh,
Double Duty.
Oh boy, it's really stressing me out here. Our shatters so far has been Marcanix, Hardly Dan, Scott Stubby, and Teflon 12. So... there you are with that. And your free games for the month. We have games with gold for this month are TT, Isle of Man, now to the end of the month, Call of Cthulhu, now through March 15th, and Star Wars Battlefront, now through the 29th. So, you know, go get those. Your PS Plus games for the month are Bioshock, The Collection, The Sims 4, and Firewall Zero Hour, which is a VR game. So, if you're into that, go for it. Twitch Prime games for the month are Narcos, Rise of the Cartels, American Fugitive. I think those two things should be together, but what do I know? Desert Child, Steridan, White Knight, then Stadia Pro, we have Metro Exodus, and Guilt.
Stadia Pro, the best value in video gaming!
No, sure.
Just a reminder, if you did not remember to to cancel your subscription on Stadia Pro, it is already renewed.
many of us forgot about that.
yes.
I canceled mine, so.
Good on you, Kim. Yep. The funniest part is the question I posed to Robin. I posed it also to your brother, Pete, Mike. He did not respond to me.
Yeah, as bad as me.
Yeah, did you also have Stadia? No, you didn't, Pete.
No, I just mean with messages. He's terrible.
Gotcha. Yeah, fair enough. He is terrible. The question was, when was the last time you actually played Stadia? And I don't know if anybody in the chat has or had Stadia, but it would be curious to see if any of them did. When was the last time you actually played Stadia with the intent of playing the games that you had on Stadia, not just out of curiosity if it was working well or not?
Well, I think I said that Stadia is not my platform of choice for a new release.
Right.
And the new releases that I have are so good on the platforms that I already have that it's just Stadia is still just a curiosity to me rather than a real platform. So until they start to have Stadia-only games and not stuff that came out 6-8 months, 2 years ago. No. And I'm not willing to throw £60 at it for a new game.
That's their problem. The biggest problem, and I will say this till I'm blue in the face, is that Stadia launched with no actual good content that said, I need to have this platform.
This is cutting edge, brand spanking new.
Right. Well, and even the content, maybe that's disingenuous because I also want to say features is probably part of that. Ah. If Stadia had come out with an amazing set of features for the gamer, then maybe, just maybe, it would be like, oh, you know what? Hey, this actually is worth playing. But it came out kind of half-baked, and the only exclusive they had was Guilt at the time, which that was their one exclusive that they had you know, timed exclusivity on, as far as I know. I don't think it was made for Stadia, but I think it's a timed exclusive. But that was the one they launched with. And now, a mere 3 months later, that's, again, being offered up for free. It's one of the issues I have with their whole platform is the games that they offered up a month back that you're paying for, they seemingly have started offering up for free quickly.
If it was something like Stadia with Game Pass, so they were just streaming right. Xbox, they partnered with Microsoft or Sony, and they streamed that content onto this quick portable device, a bit like OneLive or OnLive tried to do, then they wouldn't have had it would just be a service rather than them had to be creators as well, and they would still get a kickback out of the sales of the stuff, which is what they're doing right now, but they're trying to do it all themselves. Right. If they had done that, well, maybe. But right now, you know, so it could have been sold as a cheap console for a real budget, you know, like for someone that couldn't afford the Xbox One X or the PS4 brand new $300 or $400. You know, there, this little handheld thing and the plug in the back of your TV, half decent internet connection. It's not going to be the best picture quality ever, but it's not going to be bad, and it'll have everything that your mates have. But they've kind of missed that bubble, I think. So, well, I think it's dead.
Oh well,
I think it'll
be
dead.
They did open up to more devices now. So apparently, more phone devices are going to be available to be, you know, playing Stadia. That's mm-hmm. good, because I think initially it was just the Pixel 3, which was like, who has a Pixel 3? There's very few people out there.
I think that Joe Biden has more chance to be the Democratic candidate for the presidency than Stadia coming back from the dead again. So there you go.
We shall see. Mm-hmm. But let's not focus on Stadia at the moment. Let's talk about the games we've been playing. I'm going to start, because after I finish up, I'm going to walk out that door back there.
Okay.
I'm going to get myself another beer, and then I'm beer. Going to possibly use the restroom. Maybe not in that order. All right, PUBG. I've been playing quite a bit of PUBG again of late. The new map, Kraken, has released. That is a much smaller map. It's a 2x2. Also a smaller player count, which I think a lot of people didn't realize. It's only 64 players on that map. Has destructible environments. The time to get into action is almost instantaneous. The moment you land, you're almost always in proximity of somebody. So you don't have those kind of drawn out loot cycles that you do in the bigger maps, where, you know, you could land, nobody's around you, you spend a good minute or two just looting, trying to kit yourself as best you can, and then you go seeking engagement with other players. Here, it's you hit the ground and you're scrambling for a weapon, and then you're getting engaged. You're engaging in a firefight almost, you know, within seconds. So it's fun, though. It's been fun. It's been great. Been playing with Mark and his nephews, also his son. Just having a really good time with it. So enjoying PUBG a lot. There's some news. We'll be talking about PUBG in a little bit as well. I don't think PUBG is dead, which I know a lot of people kind of were always saying it was going to die. Fortnite was going to kill it. And while Fortnite certainly has taken the lead in terms of Battle Royale games, I still think PUBG has its space. It's got its positioned nicely for what it is. I think
it delivers a wicked element of excitement when you're dropping into that zone. And if you're in a small area just like that new map, Kraken, did you say? It's intense, man. And you don't get many games like that. That was one of the first to deliver that experience for me. And I just thought it was I thought it was amazing, and I don't think I'll ever stop playing it. Maybe not as much. I've not been on it recently, but man, that game is sick. I don't care what anybody says. And Fortnite's just too complex. It's a young kid's game, man. The building element of it's nuts.
My kids still do nothing else but play Fortnite.
But how fast are they, Robin? You know, they like.
Oh well, every time I try to hit them, he gets away. Yeah, so they're pretty quick. What's really annoying me is that they keep on coming to me and asking for more money to spend on Fortnite and I'm on the season pass.
And oh, right.
We've spent enough on Fortnite now. Not that it was free, but we have spent 60, 70 quid and that's it. No more new costumes to buy. Nah, sorry. Mm-mm. So
now, I have to admit, for the first time, I bought the season pass with PUBG. I bought the initial game way back when. I've had PUBG now for, 2.5 years, somewhere around there. So I finally kicked down and bought a season pass just because I felt, you know what, I'll give them a little support. I've gotten so much value out of this game, way more than what I think I paid $30 initially. This game has delivered in spades.
Yeah, so you think about it, Call of Duty, you're thinking, £60 for that? You probably play, I don't know, you play for 3 or 4 months solid, and then after that, you don't spend a penny on it. But you've probably spent less and got more value out of playing PUBG than you had, or you would do playing Call of Duty. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think you have.
Yeah, no, very much so. I paid basically $60 for Call of Duty to pay for giant 68 gigabyte updates. Anyway, all right, Pete. This next game I played and finished, and you also played this game and finished it. Okay. Batman, Telltale, the Telltale series Batman game. Real love hate for me with this game. I absolutely love the story. The gameplay mechanics of the game I thought were fine. It's funny because it's actually a pretty forgiving game. In previous Telltale games, especially the first two Walking Dead series, you miss some of those button prompts. There were usually consequences to them. In this Batman game, more often than not timing out those button sequences fast enough is not, or hitting the wrong button and then hitting the right button doesn't really hurt you. There's a meter that builds up for kind of like a super move, if you will, that happens. And that's really what hitting the button prompts in the timely fashion lends to. But you can kind of get through the game even without hitting those button prompts properly. Or oftentimes even hitting them at all. I had at least one instance where I'd put the controller down because I had to take care of something and was just kind of letting the sequence play out. And then there was a dialogue choice that came up and I just didn't say anything. And my character, it actually reacted to the fact that I didn't do anything.
So
which I thought was kind of clever.
Okay, well, let's get these here and never about the gameplay. Okay? It's about the story. So was the story any good? Was it worth your time?
I thought the story was excellent. I enjoyed the story. It is this game is about the early days of Batman and Harvey Dent, when Harvey Dent is a prosecutor running for mayor. And, they do some things differently than the original or some of the other Batman stories. So I don't believe this is what they consider canon. I think this is Telltale's version of Batman's origin kind of story. And it's not so much his origin story, but it's the origin story for a lot of the villains.
Yeah, Joker.
If that makes sense. Joker, Harvey Dent, Two-Face, the Penguin. So those interactions, those storylines were different than what I had traditionally known to be the Batman storyline. So I thought that was a little refreshing. Enjoyed it. My hate element with this game was it's a very glitchy game. For whatever reason, I mean, look, Telltale had their problems, and this is, I think, ultimately the shame of Telltale is that they didn't QA these games very well. There were just a lot of just little graphic bugs that would happen. So, I mean, I had an entire dialogue sequence happen with somebody just missing. It was I was talking to an invisible person.
The head missing or something, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I had a situation of every time I saw Captain Gordon, he would always be smoking a lot. And the cigarette smoke, instead of looking wistfully smoky, was just this giant block of white that would just be popping around.
Oh, he wasn't smoking. He was vaping. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly vaping. Yeah.
It,
so
it was annoying because it would fill the screen at times, you know? It wasn't just like a small amount of it. It was just everything. It was just like bloody hell.
Yeah. It's like driving behind somebody that's vaping. It's like the Chattanooga big when they puff out the window. It's like this massive oversized cloud. They're compensating for something. What is that about?
But yeah, so that was my one real complaint. It is glitchy. Nothing game breaking, mind you. So there was nothing ever that like broke the game to where I couldn't complete it. No. So my recommendation is play the game.
It's free.
The story is good. It's on Game Pass. It's been given away free as well, I think, prior to that. So you likely, you know, if you have PS Plus or you have Xbox Live, you may have gotten this game already. If you haven't played it, play it. The story is good. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed that aspect of it. And the glitchiness is not enough to stop you from playing the game, from finishing the game. You know, it's just, it's one of those things where once you see it, it's annoying. And it comes in sporadically. And it seemed like to me the first two chapters were actually pretty good. And then 3 through 5 were actually more glitchy.
Yeah.
Like I noticed more graphical issues happening in those chapters.
You're describing my life here, Greg.
Yeah.
First couple of chapters were brilliant. Yeah, no, just a bit glitchy.
This is where you jumped onto me, Greg, when I was talking about this game. And I think I played a lot more than you at this point. And when I was talking about it before, and I think you'd only got through the first chapter and you was really engaged into the story. And I just felt like it wasn't interactive enough for me as someone playing it. And when I got to the third, fourth chapter, I was doing that exactly in the dialogue. I was leaving it. I was getting complacent.
I loved the dialogue choices in this game. Yeah. I stayed engaged the entire way through. So yeah. I still say you were wrong. I still say the gameplay is perfectly fine. It's enjoyable. But ultimately, there are graphical glitches that will take you out of the game from time to time.
Did it ever lock up? Did you ever have to restart the game? Oh, I did that twice. Well, I reckon then, okay, we're at one each. So somebody else needs to play this out of our little community and give us your comments on it.
I played it.
You played it as well?
Yeah, when it first came out. Yeah.
Okay.
So I love the Telltale stuff, so yeah, it was all right. It's clunky like a Telltale game, so that's all right. You don't play it, you're expecting this polished thing, you know, so it's all right.
You get an easy 1,000 gamer score from it. You don't have to really work hard at it. I like to work for my gamer points.
I like
to stick the difficulty.
You're a man. You're a real man.
You know what I worked? And I worked it hard.
Yeah.
It was Catwoman, baby. Oh, yeah. Chicka, chicka, bam, bam. All right.
Everybody's percentage was higher around that point. Did you notice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There were a couple. I'm trying to remember. I don't want to give anything away within the game. It's been a while, but there were a couple that I like. There's a choice in the game, and I won't say when it happens in the game, but there's an opportunity for you to remove Batman's mask or keep it on.
Yeah.
And the ramifications of taking it off or keeping it on are pretty dire. Like you understand that you don't do this, it could be bad, really bad. And I was, I think, like in the 27% that said, fuck it, I'm keeping my helmet on.
Yeah.
And I found that interesting.
I only take my mask off for one thing only.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pick his nose.
All right. that is me. That is me done. Why don't we shift gears to Kim? Would love to hear about old lady boobs. On that note, I'm going to I'll stay for the old lady boobs. And then I'll probably bounce out real quickly to, you know.
Yep.
Refill the coronavirus.
There you go. Still playing The Witcher 3. I finally made it to Skellig, we all know. And I went to Hinduersfjall.
Hurry,
I'm continuing chasing after Ciri and all that. And anyway, it shifted perspective from Geralt to Ciri in this one little deal. And they took her to a sauna, which was no big deal. But I kid you not, they took her to the sauna, and there was this woman and her daughter there, completely buck-ass naked.
Huh.
I'm like, holy shit. And I mean, this woman is not like a young woman at all. I mean, she's probably 60 years old. And think about it, back in those days.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
You know, wow. Holy moly.
That reminds me. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you there. Yesterday we were out at this beautiful beach, Port Shirt Strand. You were up near there, Greg, with me. And we went to this place called Harry's Shack, restaurant on the edge of this 7 mile long beach. Yesterday it was stormy, like really, really windy. There was intermittent snow and hail falling. So we were sitting in the window, big log fire beside us in this restaurant, having a beautiful meal. You've seen some of the photographs. And I look up, and there's this large gentleman in Speedos and a large woman in a bikini running down the beach into the frigging sea. They get to the sea, the man gets to about his knees and dives in. And the woman, she gets up to just below her substantial, one of her boobs is the size of you, Kim. Into those seawater, and it's snowing. And what are these people like? I don't understand. Anyway, I digress.
Sounds like they were doing a polar bear swim.
It put me off my fish pie.
Yeah, I can imagine that. We also like to consider those giant boobs floaties.
Ah, it's a flotation device. Okay.
Yes.
Exactly. There you go.
Anyway, Kim, carry on.
So, here was this, 60-year-old woman with her tatas hanging out. And here I am as Ciri with a towel on, thinking, well, it's a sauna. You know, normally people wear a towel in the sauna, at least where I'm from. So, and they're like, apparently you're a bit shy because you're wearing a towel. And I'm thinking, okay, no, but all right, you know. So that was interesting. So anyway, I'm continuing on with The Witcher. I killed my first werewolf the other day. That was entertaining, to say the least.
Real quickly, with regards to Ciri, because I remember this moment when they switched over to Ciri. Two things really bothered me about that moment. One, the combat mechanics of Ciri were very different from Geralt.
Yes.
That always threw me off. It took me a long while to kind of come to grips with that. The other thing that really bothered me was I continuously kept looking at Ciri wanting her to be naked.
Well, you know.
And
she's not bad, though.
But she's decidedly young in that game. And there was a guilty thing happening. It was
understandable.
Uncle Joe.
But, well, I don't know. The one guy that was there with her after they dug her out of the ocean, he didn't seem to mind it any, but whatever. Continuing on from that, I played a little Red Dead 2, doing John's stuff. He's got some bounty hunting and whatnot going on. And, typical 2 years for me right there, considering. So I played Red Dead, and I'm still playing Red Dead.
You're having a ball with it. So what? Who cares? There's no right or wrong. There is no right or wrong with video games. You know, you just go out and do it. Just unless you're playing a shower with my dad. I mean, apart from that.
Other than that, that's it for me. Witcher and Red Dead.
But have you finished? Sorry, have you finished the main quest of Witcher now? Haven't you?
No, I'm still chasing after Ciri, because I am working it towards just doing the main quest.
Red Dead. I meant to say Red Dead.
Yes, yeah. I finished the main one for Red Dead, but like I said, they've added some bounty hunting and stuff like that for John, so I've been going back and doing that. And you still need to open that bottom part of the map where Blackwater and all that is, and I haven't done that yet either. So, and Anthony bugs me. He still loves Red Dead, so, you know.
He likes it.
How many put into the game? How many hours have you Red Dead now?
Oh shoot, I don't know. I think at last check it was over 200. So
wow.
Oh, that's nothing for me, because when I played Dragon Age Inquisitions, I think I put over 300 hours in it. So
really?
Yep. I mean, I squeeze just about everything out of that game. So
it's nice to see that you're getting all of that enjoyment still out of that game. I've not played The Witcher, but I've heard that's a long game as well.
I have a feeling.
That's a thing that we need to talk about as well. The tweet that you put out about asking for the list of games, what to play in that top 10. I think you should mention that today, because that was amazing how much interaction that got. And a very, very, very good list. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, what have you been up to then, Pete? What have you been playing?
Well,
The first thing that I played, Mark sent me The Last of Us. I've never played that before. I'm going through it's probably a nostalgic time for some people, but I'm going to be playing some old games.
Okay. Well, this is really interesting because I have just recently completed it as well, Pete. I never completed the game.
And I still haven't.
So this is really fresh. I mean, literally in the last 2 months is when I finished it.
I thought everybody had completed this game.
No, no. So how'd you get on?
No.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great game. I didn't know anything about it. I hadn't watched any trailers about The Last of Us, I just didn't have a clue. I didn't know it was zombie driven, and I just didn't know a single thing about it. I played the start of the. I can spoil some of it.
Yeah, of course you can.
The start of the game. You see a father and daughter, and they're having this conversation on the settee. The father gets back home from work, and the daughter got father a watch for his birthday, which he completely forgot about. He didn't know it was his birthday. I don't think by the look of how he was. And during that intro, he actually loses his daughter, and that just because I looked at the front cover, which is here. Look, I got Mark's CD. I thought that it would be the man and his daughter. So when I started playing the game and his daughter had died, I was just completely like buckled. I was like, oh my life, I can't believe that happened. I don't like stealth games. I really don't like them. And I felt like you had to be stealth in a lot of this.
Tickers.
Clickers. And they'll walk around making this funny little clicking noise and shaking their heads and like walking around very, very close to you. And the AI in the game, if you can't stand around for long. It designs it in a way where they start heading towards you anyway by default. So you've not got much time to think. And what I did, I started the game on the one up from normal difficulty, whether that be hard or whatever. But I always like a challenge when I play these type of games. 18 plus got a bit of a scare factor, and I ramped it up to hard or whatever it was. And by God, I died so many times. If somebody said that it takes 10, 20 hours, 15 hours to complete this campaign, you know, I must have trebled that because I was going through some pain, some real pain.
And I do like that. That's like me in Halo and Gears. I like that, you know, up that the hard this. But I actually, when I went back to this again, I played it on easy, and I thoroughly. Yeah. It was still a challenge here and there, but it wasn't annoying, and I enjoyed the story because that's what this is all about. You know, the gameplay is pretty good, but the story is the thing.
Characters. I felt like Last of Us had some unusually like painful spikes in difficulty, and it was not usually the clickers. I usually found the painful spikes in difficulty coming around with the human AI. So as Pete dies here, no, it's totally okay. I get it. I'm glad. I appreciate you muting. That's lovely of you to do that. The one thing I loved about The Last of Us, though, in terms of the story, you know, it's a story about monsters, but the monsters are not so much the clickers. It's other humans. It's, you know, the interaction with humanity, and this is. Probably every, you know, zombie movie game you see out there of late, it's dealing more about how evil and brutal humans become in the face of those kind of situations. So, and Last of Us, and I was trying to say this, and I was muted, I didn't realize it, but that intro was probably one of the best intros to a game ever. I loved the intro to Last of Us. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. I thought it was really well put together. I think I think you could tell it was dated in the sense that when you started to get the human characters respawning, when you were in in certain battles, you know, with the same type of people. And you can see that then, that it's a game that's 7-8 years old, and you're not getting a regeneration of different, but you know, people looking differently. You get that, but I just looked at it like I'm playing an old game. I'm just going to get whatever I see and just appreciate, you know, the game for what it is. And
that story for me, it just got better and better and better almost as it went on. I mean, there was a section in it towards the end or getting 3/4 of the way through, where they're sort of in this seaside place and there's a big battle in a restaurant. There's these sort of cannibal guys and there's a restaurant that you have to run around, and the end baddie, the boss, is chasing you around the place and setting the place on fire.
Yeah.
It's just fabulous atmosphere, even all around it, and the build-up to that. Just, it was done so well. Very, very good, guys.
Yeah, but, you know, one thing that, you know, still to this day, you know, the fact that you collect knives...
In the kitchen. Yeah.
You go to the kitchen and you see a knife block with like 5 knives in it. Can't touch that.
Yeah.
Yes, Mark. Still complaining about that. I'll never let it go.
The thing really did my head in towards the end of the game. I got stuck in this shopping mall, and there was clickers everywhere. And then after that, you had to fight humans. Or was that the other one? There was towards the end of the game. I was so pissed off because I had to drop the difficulty from hard to normal, and I only got the achievement then for completing it on normal and easy. And I was just like, I was gutted. I just couldn't get through that one. Oh no! I'll tell you where it was. It was you go through like this subway, and and there was just clickers, bloaters. Oh my god! It was just insane. I just couldn't get through it. And in the end, I was almost like rage quitting. I was at that point, and it was just so. How anybody completes that on its hardest difficulty is just nuts. But I think I'm getting too old now to have. No, I mean, Gears not playing insane, but I'm starting to get too old for that now. Great game, phenomenal.
So what are you saying? So it's like, watch it. I just put it on easy all the time, then, should I?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that what it is?
Easy all the time. Easy.
I mean,
easy like Sunday morning.
Another game I'm going to talk about after. I think you have to put it on easy to enjoy the story, and I think I'm going to do that with the other games that I'm going to mention later on. But
okay,
I don't know.
Right. I think you can. I think you can go normal, not so much easy, but normal still allows you usually to enjoy the story enough.
Yeah,
it's when you start trying to spike the difficulty past that.
Yeah,
I know. Just recently, I was trying to play through the Master Chief Collection Halo 2, because I wanted to do the remastered version they did, and I got to the stupid library level, and I had put it on not legendary, but heroic. The one right below legendary, heroic. Yeah,
which is how they recommend you play it,
right? And I'm playing through it on single player, so I wasn't doing co-op with anybody, which is probably a mistake, but. Oh, dear God. Library, it frustrated me so much and got me so pissed off. I never finished Library, but I also got so mad at the game I've not gone back to finish it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just said, screw it. So I had already finished the game before, mind you, back when it originally came out. But this go-round, I was just, like, thoroughly frustrated. And that's just never fun. I don't play games to get frustrated.
No, I think of some of the stuff I've done over the years.
Nope.
Difficulties.
Especially if you're there to try and enjoy the story, you have to get comfortable with being able to lower the difficulty. And I love games, honestly, that let you lower the difficulty or raise it and don't punish you for achievements, things like that. And they allow you to do that. Mm.
Cool.
Hey.
What else?
One game I fired up for about half an hour before I started to play the other one that I'm going to mention was World War Z.
Yes.
And
sorry. Whoa. You are not proper English. Hello, World War Z. Duh.
Yeah, but I watch a lot of American things. And World War Z. I didn't know it was... Well, it's a third-person shooter, and it's an online 4-player cooperative game, and I didn't know that. I just thought it was going to be a bit of a Left 4 Dead You could play co-op if you needed to, but there's a single player campaign and blah, blah, blah. I didn't know that. So when I went on to it, and I was meaning to play it last year, I think it was released around April, wasn't it, last year, something like that. And I've been looking forward to playing it. And then when I fired it up for that half an hour, I mean, the gameplay is so smooth. The graphics are slick. The one thing I didn't like, but when you think about it, a whole game, a whole campaign of gunfire being loud would probably be annoying towards the end of playing it for so long. But I found that the gunfire was very muted. There's a lot of it was silenced, and that could have been some of the weapons that I got, but it just didn't, I found like that, yeah, it just didn't feel natural when I was firing the weapons because the sound wasn't surrealistic, whereas everything else around me in the environment was very much so. You know, the zombies right. are very loud and they'd jump scare you, and it was very intense.
I've had no experience with this whatsoever. So okay. Is this online only? Is it multi? Is there a single player thing?
It's
in this, or what
it's,
is it?
It's you can play through it single player. It basically gives you AI companions.
I didn't notice that when I played it. I just thought it was just a multiplayer, and you could play it publicly. And if you went local, you'd have to have people. I didn't know. Do you know what? I never even tried it. But what you get options anyway, Robin. And there's campaign, public campaign, private, and campaign local or something like that. I can't remember. But right. I just went on to the public. So I connected to their servers, and there was just three random people that jumped on. You can pick what part of the campaign that you want to do. So I just started with the first one, and I was in this shopping mall. And then eventually it led to a subway, and I had to get onto the train, and then from the train it led to somewhere else. I can't remember. I did about three or four parts, and it is literally like horde mode. You've just got these zombies running at you. Right. You've got a lot of ammo pickups, but first aid packs, med kits are very scarce, and you die very quickly. But when you die, and because you're playing in a group of four, as long as the rest of the people in your team don't die, you have to respawn within 60 seconds. After 60 seconds. And as long as everybody else is okay, you're fine. But there's hardly any medication around the map to keep the team up and running. So it is pretty intense. It's good. I'll give it its due. It's very, like I say, it's very slick. I didn't find the I'm a sucker for you know, things sounding realistic, and to not hear a natural gunfire when I was shooting zombies, it just didn't feel right, and I didn't like that. But apart from that, the rest of the game was designed really well. I think it's good. I think it'd be good in a product group. But I only wanted a quick half an hour while I was doing installing the other game that I was going to mention. So yeah. It's okay. It's okay.
Pete, it was on game. Did you see the original movie?
With Brad Pitt, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's funny because when you see clips of this game, for whatever reason, when I watch clips of World War Z, the game, mind you, I saw the movie as well, but the game, the zombies don't seem that fast.
No.
When you get into the game and you actually are playing it, they are decidedly fast, especially if you've played any other zombie games recently where they are much slower. The zombies in World War Z are just insanely fast. And to me, it felt basically futile. That was the one thing I came away from this is like, you just never felt like you were really going to be able to stem the tide or win. It was like constantly just feeling like you had to run. That was your option, was run.
There was no, because of the respawning, sorry, my throat's going. Because of the respawning, when you compare it to Last of Us, when you're struggling in Last of Us, you can run, you can get out of places, and
right,
you can move through the campaign and move on without having to kill anyone. Like on, I was in this basement and there was a bloater and a few clickers and stuff, and I went through this door having to run through all of this underground basement, and I got to the door, and I could continue the campaign. And it didn't matter whether I killed them or not. Whereas with this, I felt like you have to go through and kill them all before you can move on anywhere. And it kind of felt unnatural. And because of the respawn element, it didn't feel like I was immersed into the game as much as I was with The Last of Us. So it didn't give that realistic element. And probably with Resident Evil as well, when you get with that, you know, you can move on, you can run away from people as long as you do it. You're smart about it. And it's good. It's good. But I get what you mean, Greg. I don't know. It's worth a try, though, especially with Game Pass. You know, when you're getting it as part of the service, it's worth firing it up just to... If you're into those shoot 'em ups, it's
great.
Yeah.
All right. Pete, I think you played one more game you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so there's one more thing. Sorry, I had to cough then. But there's Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Wow.
Yes.
All right, let's, 2010, March is, I think, this one. So it's a first person shooter. And is it published by EA, I think, isn't it? And I sent out this tweet, right, when he was talking the other week, I don't know whether it was last week or the week before, about all these games that had come out 10 years ago. I listened to this list and I was like, I've not played any of these games at all. There was Red Dead that I played. I can't remember if there was anything else. I think everything else I hadn't played. And I thought to myself in that moment, I was like, God, I've missed out on a lot here. And I hear games like... Bayonetta brought up a lot, Mass Effect 2, Fallout New Vegas, Alan Wake, Enslaved, and all these games I mentioned so many times, and I just thought to myself, do you know what? I'm gonna send a tweet out, see if we can get some kind of tally going as to what their favorite, everybody's favorite games are within that list, and there were 14, I think, altogether. I just thought I'll play the top five of that list.
Because
a lot to go through. There's a lot of hours of games, so I just thought I'll pick the top five.
Now, real quick, Pete.
Yeah.
One of the things I feel slightly bad for you with regards to the list and thinking about it is that, so like Battlefield Bad Company 2 was absolutely a favorite within our community.
Yep.
Everybody loved this game. The problem is most everybody love this game for the multiplayer.
Well, yep. I've actually played the multiplayer.
Okay. So,
I'd even forgot that I've played the multiplayer of Bad Company 2. When I looked at my achievements in March and April of 2010, I've got some of the the achievements for playing that online. The one thing I didn't play was the campaign. So I just thought I'll go through the campaign anyway, just to give it a crack. So yeah, I do appreciate that. Some people have probably got different experiences from some of these games, but the top five that I got from the response and from Twitter, and there was a huge response on that tweet. I didn't expect the response that I got, and I'm really grateful for that. And I think I'll try and do something more like that in future with other games that I've not played over the past 10 years, and see if I can start getting some little following going that way. But the five games that I found so far that seem to be favourable were Mass Effect 2, Enslaved, so that's
to the West.
Yeah.
Fallout New Vegas, Battlefield Bad Company 2, and Alan Wake. They were the ones that got the most response. So what I did the other day was I signed up to the EA Access for 12 months. So I got it off CD keys, which is about £18, which gives you Battlefield Bad Company, also Mass Effect 1 and 2. So I'm going to play Mass Effect 1 as well because I've been told that I really need to play that.
Yeah, it's okay. It is brilliant in its own, but you got to wait until you get to the Citadel, which doesn't mean anything to you now, but it's a couple of hours into the game, and then it starts to really open up. That's bad to say that about a game, but it is more old-fashioned PC RPG-ish. It's still once you get past the boring bit at the beginning, it turns into a fabulous deep story. But Mass Effect 2,
that's apparently where I went wrong. I never got past the 2 hours with the boring.
Yeah,
so
it does get really good. But Mass Effect 2 is friggin' awesome on gameplay level. It gets a bit lighter in the RPG stuff. It's still in depth, but fantastic. I mean, out of your fantastic list, Pete, I commend you. It's a brilliant list.
Yeah.
Those things like the ones you've mentioned, Alan Wake, Mass Effect 2, Halo Reach, there are the ones that are there which are
really acquired tastes like Deadly Premonition, which is has a really big fan base within our community, but it is not everybody's cup of tea. Yes, crap. In my mind, it's crap. I'm sorry. People think it's the best thing ever, and they will argue that point, and they think it's fabulous, but no. Darksiders itself is one. Dante's Inferno would
be
another
one. The original Darksiders.
There are some fantastic gems in there, and out of those, I would really... Alan Wake, of course, yes. Enslaved Odyssey to the West is brilliant. Really, really good story, and great gameplay. Bioshock 2 is a good game. Did you play the first one?
No.
Play the first one.
Don't play it. Yes, this is good, but play the first one. The first one still holds up.
Play Bioshock.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, I missed out on all of these games, and I've heard so many people talk about them. So that was my idea.
I would say a game that has influenced two games maybe that have influenced more games out there than any other would be Bioshock. Has had its touch and feel on so many games out there, and Mass Effect, definitely.
Right.
That's had their feel. You know, you can feel the essence of those games through so many, many others. So. Brilliant, really good, good idea. So
what I'm doing as well is I'm firing up OBS, and instead of streaming it all on the overseas connection channel, I've just got my replay buffer going, and any exciting moments in the game or any times when I jump scare or anything that's just above the normal, I'll just keep on saving those little clips, and then I'll just put a montage together of all of these different games that I've played. So I'll probably do that over time.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I don't. I'm just going to go with the flow. I played Battlefield Bad Company 2. I'm halfway through the campaign. I did it. I think it's only about 8-9 hours long. The campaign. I've done half of it already. Looking at the missions list, I did that in a pretty much a morning. So I'll probably finish the rest off maybe tomorrow or the day after. So that's one of them out of the way. With having EA access, I'll have. I'll pretty much have two or three of those on that list, and I've Fallout New Vegas is on Game Pass, so I've only actually got to buy Enslaved and Alan Wake, which I'm sure I'll be able to pick up at next to nothing anyway. So I think the services that we've already got provide those great games anyway to us. So I'll watch this space. I might start working through the years, pick some more.
Real quick, Pete, for Battlefield Bad Company 2. One of the things you absolutely must do, go onto YouTube and look up promo trailers for Battlefield Bad Company 2. When this game first came out, there were a series of commercials they released. They were more like YouTube commercials.
Yeah.
Hysterically funny. A couple, like one was poking fun at like Snake from Metal Gear Solid, because that was also coming out at the time, and they were kind of feeling like a rivalry. But those promo commercials to me had such great humor in them, and really sold me on the game.
Okay, look, I'm going to quickly rattle through my games because we are running very long today. So, not that I'm telling us off, but I'm telling us off.
Yeah, you are. You're telling us off.
I want to talk about Untitled Goose Game. Okay, so Untitled Goose Game is a hipster game, and I don't really understand why it has so much plaudits. I have played it for not very long. I've played the first level. I will go back to it and give it more of a chance. But hipsters love this game. The premise, you are a goose. You annoy people and you have a task list. For example, the first level, you have to gather all the bits and pieces onto a... collect things to go onto a picnic blanket. Like a carrot from the garden where the gardener is, and if he catches you, he chases you away and then brings his stuff back. You have to try and wet him somehow or another, so you either wet him with a hose or bring him into a pond. You have to steal his radio when as soon as you pick it up it goes off, so he's chasing you around. And you can quack and you can flap your wings, but you're a goose. Okay?
Goose.
You're a goose. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's really good. I was hoping for unfinished swan quality of gaming, but no. This is a hipster game. This is a more polished goat simulator. I'm sorry, it is. I'm sure it's great. It's a puzzle game, but nah, it's not for me.
It was a phone game to begin with, so I think that's also something you need to consider. This started off, I believe, as an iOS game,
It's cute, it's simple, it's cute, and it's a nice
hour experience.
Yeah. Now, what I do want to talk about is this monster, which is my friend Pedro. This is the most fun you can have with a banana, with or without friends. It is freaking awesome. This is a shooter. It's a 2D left to right shooter. It has lots of familiarities with the Matrix and Shadow Complex, and even the one with the little shooter that was like the cartoony one that came out, and everybody thought it's like the old 1930s cartoon.
Cuphead.
Towards Cuphead. The end, it gets like Cuphead levels. This, I finished this completely this morning. The gameplay is solid as a rock. It's fun. It has humor. It gives you a bit of a laugh to it as well. Some of the types of gameplay, I was on a skateboard. You skateboard through and kick the bad guys through it and spin around. Lots of different varieties of weapon. It's fast moving. The individual levels are only a couple of minutes long each. And it's just brilliant. It's tongue-in-cheek in places. It's excellent. I thoroughly recommend My Friend Pedro. Really, really, really good fun game. And it's on Game Pass as well. So, you just haven't went near this yet, no?
Nope, no, I haven't tried it yet.
Please do so.
I need to.
Yeah. You'll love it. The gameplay's cool. Anyway, so, that's what we've all been playing.
Yes, talked about the video games. Now we're going to do a quick quiz.
Oh, cool, a quiz. There's a button that says quiz. Let's press it.
All right, now everybody get settled. Get away from the windows. Now look. Good. It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad. Tough.
All right.
That might be the right quiz, but it's a quiz.
Oh. Yeah, it's okay. It's the quiz. This is the blankety blank 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 quiz, produced by Mark, read out by me, because I'm giving you all a chance to try and catch up to me. Pete, you've not even broken ground yet in the blankety blank 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 quiz. So here we go. Here's how this is going to go. There are three questions. They are all multiple choice. They are phrases from characters in video games, and I will tell you the character. You will then hear the phrase. And then what is supposed to be the word for the blank area? When you tell me that, you will send that to me on WhatsApp. I will then declare a winner, and we will move on. Does it all sound good?
Sounds good.
Yeah? Nod your head, class. Thank you. All right, here we go. Robin, you are a cunt. Yes, I know. All right.
That was just a test.
Yep, testing, 1, 2, 3. Here we go. The blankety blank 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 quiz. First question, this is a phrase from Mr. Torg in Borderlands 2. He said, "Nothing is more blank than treating a woman with respect." Nothing is more blank than treating a woman with respect. Your choices are A, respectable, B, badass, C, rewarding, or D, sexist. Nothing is more blank than treating a woman with respect. Please WhatsApp me your choices here. Also applies to you, Kim. I haven't seen you WhatsApping me. I'm just saying. There we go. Okay. Hey. Just relax there. Pipe down, pipsqueak. All right. We have three answers. Two people have said B, badass, and somebody has said C, rewarding. That C, rewarding, would be Pete, and that would stand for cunt, and that would be incorrect. It is B, badass.
Badass. Yep. Yeah.
Point to Robin and Kim.
Oh, yeah. My ass is bad.
All right. Next phrase. Here we go. Isaac Clarke in Dead Space 3. Isaac Clarke in Dead Space 3 said.
Three.
Yes. In three. Every game, everybody loved Dead Space 3. It was like game of the year on some list somewhere. All right, here we go. Blank men mean well. We just don't always end up doing well. Blank men mean well. We just don't always end up doing well. Is it A, all, B, some, C, gay, or D, good? Blank men mean well. We just don't always end up doing well.
Okay. 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 So blank men or Manuel.
Okay. Right. Or Manuel. Yes. So I have responses from Kim, Robin, and Pete. Kim said some men mean well. Robin said, good men.
Good men mean well.
And Pete said, good men mean well. And there is a correct answer on the board. And that is not that some men mean well, but it is that good men mean well. So there you go.
I've got a badass good man, Manuel.
The ginger. There we go. 2 points to Pete so far. 2 points to Robin, which means you're tied with me, Robin.
Oh, yeah.
1 point to Kim so far. Here we go. Final question for the blankety blank 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 quiz. This is from Mara Sov from Destiny. Often we get. Sorry. Let me just rewind. Often when we guess at others, blank, we reveal only our own. Often when we guess at others blank, we reveal only our own. Is it A, motives, B, mistakes, C, agendas, or D, genitalia? Often when we guess at others blank, we reveal only our own.
Answers again,
A, motives, A, motives, B, mistakes, C, agendas, D, genitalia.
Yeah, there's two of those words mean almost the same thing.
Waiting on one last answer from Pete.
You should have it.
So when you gas at people, is that like when you fart at people? Is that what the sentence means?
Yes, when you fart at people. Oh, there we go. Pete finally came through. So we have two people said motives, and one person said mistakes, and the mistake would be to say mistakes. It is, in fact, A, motives. Correctamundo, Robin, and Kim, motives. Often when we guess at others' motives, we reveal only our own. And yes, agendas was a sneaky, sneaky close one.
Really was.
Yeah. Well done there, Robin. You've got a badass.
Robin, 3 points. You just took the lead.
I'm a ninja.
Nice going there, Bobbins.
You are a ninja.
Not going there.
Pete got in two. I'm going to update real fast.
I just Robin. Got one. Denied. Don't you get one for every answer that you get right?
Oh, no, that, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at
that.
It's going to give you two, but
that's okay. At least I'm on the board.
Oh, yeah. You look are. At me. I've got. I'm. Am I the lead?
You are in the lead.
Holy macaronis! I'm
this
a winner.
Is, this is my
winning.
Gift to you. My gift to you, Robin. I took the week off. There you go.
Winning. So much winning. If you like so winning, you just stay with me. Winning.
So much winning. All right. Real quick, let's cover some news. We've got some news to talk
about. Okay, news. Let's do news. News.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, it is fitting that we have been talking about man flu this past week because their first news stories has to do with a flu of sorts, the coronavirus. Sony had announced they were not going to be attending PAX East, and then they followed up by also saying they would not only not attend PAX East, but also GDC. Facebook also coincidingly said they would not be attending GDC for fear of possible coronavirus implications there. And so both those companies have pulled out of GDC. Sony is specifically pulling out of PAX East. We talked about it a little bit last week. You can't really fault them for being overly cautious in something like this. But on the flip side...
Okay. I'm sure they all go to the supermarket.
Well, yeah. So interestingly, subsequently, since those news stories broke, the mayor of Boston sent a letter formally to Sony asking them to reconsider pulling out of PAX East. In his letter, Mayor Walsh said, "The risk of contracting the coronavirus in Boston and Massachusetts remains extremely low, and that officials have no reason to believe that anyone should cancel their plans to visit the city." And this is where I fall in line here. There's absolutely nothing saying that the coronavirus is a legitimate scare within the borders of the United States, and companies canceling their plans for things inside the U.S. is just a bit ridiculous.
You have more chance getting shot dead in Boston than catching coronavirus.
Exactly. The mayor also said that fears about the coronavirus are fueled by confusion and lack of information, which has led to the growth of an anti-Chinese and anti-Asian sentiment in Boston and around the country. These fears reinforce harmful stereotypes that generations of Asians have worked hard to dismantle, the letter stated. They trigger our worst impulses to view entire groups of people as suspicious, to close ourselves off, and to miss out on opportunities and connections of our global city that our global city provides. Boston is united in our efforts to dispel these harmful and misguided fears.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you there's two candidates here. I mean, if you catch coronavirus at the moment, you are probably going to die. But it didn't make your fall off. It's not going to make your dick fall off. If it made your dick fall off, I'd be really worried about it. I wouldn't go to Boston if I knew my dick was going to fall off.
Also true.
If I was infirm or sickly and I was going to go to a big public place, I wouldn't go if there was a risk.
Right.
So
I think there needs to be responsibility on individuals.
So the first virus that comes that makes your dick fall off, then we stay away.
Fair play.
Okay.
I can't really argue with that.
No, you can't argue with that. It's good logic.
So at first I was like a little sympathetic to Sony they're fearful of the coronavirus. But the more I've thought about this, the more I am siding with the mayor of Boston, and this is just being hyperbolic. It's being a hypochondriac, if you will, on a very large level. And there's no signs internally within the U.S. There's no signs in the U.K. to say you shouldn't be going out to public places. You shouldn't be going to events for fear of contracting a disease like coronavirus, because it's just not present. I think we have 8 total cases that have come into the United States, and that was from some people that had previously been in China. They have been sequestered. It's not running rampant within our borders.
Well, so it's something like 760,000 people have been confirmed across the whole globe.
But it's mostly in China.
Yeah, but you're looking at, like, what's that, 0.01% of the population of the world.
Right.
It's nothing, is it, really? So then
So I hope Sony does reconsider. The moment we start taking something like this and allowing it to actually impact our business and our way of life, we're giving into something that, honestly, it's just fear. It's fear mongering at its worst in so many ways. There's nothing that points to this being an issue in the U.S. And Sony America has tons of employees they could be sending without needing anybody from Asia to come over.
I tell you, there's probably more people dying of flu at the moment than there is of this. Normal flu. Yeah. So I don't want to belittle it. It's very serious. And if you're touched by this, I'm really, really sorry. But I'm quite sure if you are or you know someone, they had underlying medical things going on. Like we were just saying in the chat here, like Dan is saying, like, you know, at this year's EGX, he wouldn't go because of the medications he was on. And that would be the correct thing to do. So, you know, so Jason gets it. I mean, he wants to keep his dick.
Right. Now, speaking of things impacted,
you missed the dick bit, Kim. You were away when the dick bit was going on.
Yeah. Okay, I thought there was something else, but all right. Mm.
No, Valve also said that the production for its new Valve Index VR headset is being impacted by coronavirus, that they will have far fewer units for sale during the months compared to the volumes we originally planned. They are still planning to release the Valve Index VR headset, so that still will happen, and that's going to be coming out just basically a month out ahead of the March 23rd release of Half-Life Alyx. But for now, the amount of headsets being produced for Valve is definitely being impacted by the coronavirus. That's just because a lot of production facilities have had to scale back their production because they just don't have manpower. It is impacting things for sure. But again, I think we need to be smart about how we view the impact of the virus. Obviously, in areas where it's actually being affected, inflicted.
When people's dicks are falling off. Yeah.
Yeah. So if your dick is falling off in China, stay at home.
It looks like it's killed GeForce as well.
No, this is something different. Bethesda Games is leaving GeForce Now streaming service. So basically, most of the Bethesda titles will no longer be part of NVIDIA's GeForce Now gaming streaming service. This is in a post from the NVIDIA staff forum. Basically announced that the platform has already started removing Bethesda Softworks titles from the library. They include titles like Skyrim, Fallout, installments of the Elder Scrolls games. Basically, the only Bethesda game that's staying on the service is Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Wolfenstein!
GeForce will now drop the other Wolfenstein installments as well. What my understanding behind this is, apparently Bethesda wanted a formal agreement with NVIDIA. It was like a commercial agreement for the titles to be on their streaming service, and that was not in place, and therefore that is why they pulled all of their games out. The plan, hopefully, is to get that formal agreement in place and then be able to reinstate the games to the service. PUBG, cross-party party play. So previously we saw PUBG open things up, and they had cross-play where you could – Xbox games players could play against PC, they could play against PS4 players, and so you had this bigger pool of players to play against. Well, now they have basically started to roll out the ability to party up, much like we do in Call of Duty, where you can have PC, PS4, and Xbox players playing in the same squad. Now in PUBG, PS4 and Xbox One players will be able to pair up together and party together in the game. It will not work with PC players as of yet, and that's because they're dirty cheaters. Just kidding.
Do you think this will work on username? How are we going to connect it? Like with Call of Duty, you connect through your Activision account and your own.
Yeah. I think it's going to be very much the same way. I think there is a PUBG platform that you can log into and sign up to, and therefore that can be kind of how you can be found through your PUBG name.
I'm really looking forward to this. I've got friends who are absolute cocks who won't swap from PS4 to Xbox One, and they play PUBG and they have the most amazing time, and I want to jump on there with them. So this is gonna do this for me. So
What I'm curious to know, and I don't know this for her because I haven't seen it, it's on the test servers right now, is if it allows chat or not. I'm hopeful. It's like Modern Warfare that you have to be in game, but you can use the in game chat to talk to your teammates. That would be perfect idea.
Well, you're I would have thought so.
Yeah. Now, the final biggest piece of news, as far as I'm concerned, is that Hasbro has announced a lineup of Halo-themed Nerf guns coming out October 1st. The highlight is the new lineup is the $50 motorized version of the Halo Iconic Assault Rifle. The MA-40 comes with a 10-dart clip mechanism that automatically feeds the projectiles into the blaster chamber. So basically, it's semi-automatic. You pull the trigger, you shoot a dart. You pull the trigger, you shoot a dart. So they also have the Halo pistol, and they have the Needler. That was actually the newest gun to be announced. And so my plan is to get a bunch of these and then...
Really? Wow.
Oh, I would love these, and I will go around shooting people. Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
Are they all around $50, these guns?
My guess is the Halo rifle is actually quite big compared to the others, so that's, I think, why it's $50. My guess is the others are going to be in that 30 to 40 range, somewhere in there.
I love the first in the show notes. I'm sorry for the audio listeners, but the first one really reminds me of Halo and that gun that is purple, isn't it? It's
right.
Not really clear in that picture.
The Needler. Yeah. That's the Needler. Yeah.
I remember that.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, I remember that. That's pretty cool. I like that. I'll be tempted to buy that.
Yeah. So I will absolutely be tempted to pick one of these up, possibly all three. and my guess is they may have more coming out. This is all part of the big Halo Infinite buildup. Kids will be able to shoot one another in the eye with darts, and everybody's gonna be happy. Anyway, so that's it for news, and I think now we can turn to the new release calendar, Kim.
Ready? Your new releases for February 23rd through the 29th are Kingdom Hearts 3 Remind for the Xbox One on the 25th, Mega Man Zero ZX Legacy Collection for the PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 25th as well. Samurai Showdown for the Switch on the 25th. One for Phil, Two Point Hospital for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch on the 25th.
Woohoo!
Yep, Overpass for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 27th. Bloodroots for the PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC on the 28th. Metro Redo for the Switch on February 28th. One Punch Man, A Hero Nobody Knows. For the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on the 28th as well. Then we have Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Was that 14? For the PlayStation 4 and PC on the 28th as well. And those are your new releases.
They are.
I thought the music was going to fade. I just cut out.
Did it not fade? I thought I faded out there. No, I pressed the wrong button.
No.
That's all right.
Oh, well. Okay. That's the only thing that goes wrong tonight, apart from everything else. Exactly. It's okay.
Well, hey, you know what we should talk about right about now? Robin.
Yes. Victory achieved.
You have been busy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's victory achieved. Yeah. So victory achieved this week. It's when you complete a game and we give you money for completing games. It's like getting paid. If you wait long enough, the odds will be in your favor. So when you complete a game, you take a photograph of the credits with your smiley face generally in it. I will try and belittle you in every way I possibly can when I retweet it. A chicken will be involved at some stage, and maybe a little bit of a story with a picture thing. Anyway, depends what's going on in my mind. I had fun today with those. So when you finish your game, you take your photograph for the credits, you tweet that off to @OC_podcast with a hashtag of victory achieved. And you'll be entered into our 3-month draw at the end of January, February, March. And you can win $20 or 15 quid. And you can be winners. So people have completed games this week. Gunslinger X 1983, he finished The Room on PC. Good lad. John Mouse, he finished Call of Duties and the World Wars of Twos. Steffi Business, Steffi Cubs UK fans, there's a story behind that, I'm quite sure. He finished in Uncharted. Steffi, was it Uncharted 1? Was it the beginning?
I believe it was the first one.
Okay. The Legit Chinny, he finished The Last of Us, and he also did the DLC. Fair dues. Martin C. 1984, he finished, Lego Indiana Jones, The Original Adventures. Brilliant. It's a great series of Lego games. Really, really good. Denok TQ, he finished Wolfenstein Youngblood. Colonel Cars, he was a very clever man.
He did the right thing, and he finished BioShock.
Yes, the best of the BioShocks.
And he tried to blackmail me on the tweet to win the game, or to win the competition, so I'm not sure. Would you kindly, he said. O.C. Murphy's Law finished Telltale's Batman game. Mr. Miyagi 1984. See, I can move on without being sarcastic or funny when your name is. It's a game that I'm probably going to play next. Is A Plague Tale of Innocence. A Plague Tale of Innocence.
About I have it downloaded.
Rats.
I don't know. I hate rats.
I hate rats. That's maybe why.
Me too.
And the Bongo of the Scenes finished My Friend Pedro. So that's it. So it says here, now some very nice person plays a jingle massaging everyone's balls. So that must be Greg.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. A victory's achieved.
Oh, I feel my balls are nicely massaged. Thank you very much, Mr. DeLisi. Take us home.
You're welcome. All right. Hey, if you've made it this far, thank you so much for listening in this week. We really do appreciate it. We love our community. We love having fun with you guys. We appreciate you taking part live and or just listening to it when you get a chance. Be part of the conversation every week. Twitch, Mixer, YouTube, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 5 p.m. Central. That can't be right. 6 p.m. Easter Island, 7 a.m. in Australia. And we are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are basically anywhere you can download a podcast. You'll find it tomorrow. Wake up to it. Enjoy it. Play it at the gym. Play it loud. Be proud. Most importantly, we would love to hear this audio play right about now.
Hello, my fellow podcast family.
You like us, we like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. We've had more exciting signs. We've seen Nicole. We know she's alive. One of these days, we just might drag her back onto the show, for the record. So there we go. All right. Let's start off with some shout-outs. Well, first and foremost, shout-out to Mark and Jenny. Absolutely. Our hearts are with you guys. Family loss. I'll just leave it at that. We're all family. We're here for you. And on that note, I will put it to Pete to cheer us up. Pete, take that man flu self and enlighten us.
I've been coughing my guts up on mute, but there we go. Anyway, I'm going to shout out Pilch. I caught up with Pilch this week. And he, as you know, as Pilch is, he's sarcastic. He said, I've not been on Twitter for 2 months and I hadn't noticed. Well, I'm sorry about that, but we had a good old catch up anyway on WhatsApp. So it was good, it's good to hear from him. Shout out to Pilch. All the folk who responded to my post on Twitter, I felt like it got some good response. I enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy playing the game, so that's ace. And one more person I want to shout out who will never, ever listen to this podcast. Tyson Fury has bought the WBC the States down to the UK. We've got all of the belts in the UK, and heavyweight division is going to be exciting.
And I've got a big fucking belt.
heavyweight is going to be exciting for boxing. Deontay Wilder is one of my favourite boxers in the division, but he got his ass kicked to him on a plague last night. There we go. Yeah, brilliant. I'll move on to the ninja.
Okay, I want to have a shout out to Matt. Matt Empire. Matt, I'm doing it. Matt has encouraged me to experiment with my aerial.
We've seen it on display.
So, as you know, I get my internet through 4G, and I have out of the, you recognize on a phone, you've got the five bars, for your signal. Well, I only can manage to get 3 bars here. I have experimented with certain aerials that you can fit to the device, but they haven't seemed to make much of a difference. A friend of his had tried this really good one, and I've went ahead and ordered one. So we'll see, and maybe I can. And then the difference that would mean for me could be dad 30% or 40% more onto my bandwidth speed. So
I've heard, Robin, if you wrap your phone in foil and then make a little cone thing coming up, it works better.
Oh, this machine's working. Oh,
that's it. That's okay. Yeah, that's it. That's
right there. Yeah. Okay. Just like that. Yep.
So yes, to Mark, of course. Yeah, it's horrible when stuff like that happens. To Phil, indeed. And to everybody that's been on the show tonight, it's been good fun in there in the chat. And we eventually got to round to video games, but you know what? It's a bit of fun. A bit of fun and a bit of chat. These are our friends in the chat, so, and the people that listen to us. Kim?
Speaking of the chat, I will shout out our chatters one more time. Of course, we have had Mark Hannix, Harley Dan, Scott Stubby, Teflon 12, Aiton, Commander Root, Vizic, Yankee Fan 1888, and Avatar Lord 2011. So there is that. I want to shout out the rest of you. It's always fun coming on here and doing our thing. And here's to everybody having a good week. I mean, February is about over, so bring on March. Yeah. That's it for me.
I'm going to do a quick public service announcement. Right here, if you notice, I've got
seen that. Little, I was going to ask.
Yeah. So I
just didn't have makeup on. That's what it was.
No. You'd think. No, I. It's going to be funny. I got these breathe strips, right? I was testing them out because I was sick. It wanted to help me breathe a little bit better. The freaking adhesive was so strong, it literally tore the skin off my freaking nose.
Ouch.
So, yeah, don't use breathe strips. That's my lesson.
Weren't you the one telling me to get those here a while back?
I know. Well, apparently the brand that I got, these things were like super adhesive. I tried them before. They worked fine.
The super glue.
But I got a different brand, and these literally were like freaking glue. I mean, I was pulling it off, and I'm like, my eyes were like welling up with tears. It was just like, oh my god. So yeah, be careful what you put in and up your nose. The things to remember. All right, shout out to the three of you. Thank you guys for taking the time. Pete, thank you for bringing your sick ass onto the podcast. Kim, thank you for bringing your skinny ass onto the podcast. And Robin, thank you for showing me your breasts.
Anytime. I'm happy to shoot me a breast.
My podcast family. I love our community. And on that note,
play more Stellaris.
Play more Stellaris. Play games. Go out, have fun, have a great week, and we will talk to you guys next week.
See us. Bye.
Indeed.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.